Blog Talk Radio.
Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Breakthrough Networking every first Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3, starring Al Fulton of Net One Services. Al, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on the show, Dave.
You're more than welcome. This is great. This is a new time slot for you. You're in a time slot that is elevated for amazing significance because you are significant to businesses.
Great. Well, thanks. I'm looking forward to it. Nice, convenient time.
Yeah, and this is great because Net One Services, great in information technology. You've saved my bacon many times, haven't you? And actually, more recently. Remember how I always bragged about you, about the website when you rescued me, and just about... Wow, when was it? Let's see. Today is Wednesday. I think it was about last Thursday or Friday. Something happened to my email, and you fixed it instantly.
Yes. One of the members of my team jumped on it and took care of it.
That was fantastic, though. You know, I've always said it, and I'll continue to say it. You know, in this day and age, if you do not have a relationship with an IT guy, forget it if you're in business. Even if you're not in business, really, if you think about it. Because most people have computers these days, it seems like.
Absolutely. They have at least one, if not a smartphone, which is a computer.
Yeah. Yeah, my phone is smarter than me, and that's what I don't understand. That's just not fair, is it?
And it can talk. I mean, it talks back. It understands.
Yeah.
Pretty soon it'll be smarter than we are.
Well, it is already smarter than me. I had more college than this iPhone that I have, but somehow it is smarter than me. I don't think it's fair, but, you know, what can you do? Life's not fair all the time. In fact, remember, Greg, we were talking about that. All's fair in love and war. Now, I never knew what that was, but we talked about that.
On the entertainment show, yes.
Yeah, was that on the Thursday or the Saturday? I can't remember.
Thursday, yeah.
Thursday. Al, have you ever heard all's fair in love and war?
Only in, like, coined in two movies.
Oh, they've said it in movies, mm-hmm. too. Yeah. Yeah, so what do you think that means? I didn't know what it means until Thursday when I looked it up and Googled it, and I've been living with that since, 43 years, where someone said that to me.
I don't know. Explain.
Yeah, well, should I go over that story, Greg?
I think so, yeah.
All right, it is a good story. We're going to try the contest.
Have a little fun with it.
Yeah, well, I think...
it's not a fun story, but now it is, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, sort of a fun story. It was a story about perplexingness. Is that a word, perplexingness?
It probably is if you're saying it.
Yeah, probably not if I'm saying it. But it's a story about, what does that mean, all fair in love and war? Okay, it was a Halloween night. I was about 18, I believe, maybe 17. No, I think I was 17. I was still I was a senior. And I went out one time, only one time with this girl. And she was, I think, 17. She may have been 16, you know, 1 year difference. I guess that's okay at that age, right?
Yeah, well, okay. We'll say you're 17 just to protect you.
Yeah, protect innocent. No, I was definitely in high school because I remember seeing her. So in high school, only one day, nothing, you know, nothing at all, just a day. So I invited her to Halloween and to go to Beverly Hills. You know, this is quite a long time ago, but you hear stories about if you trick or treat in Beverly Hills, right?
Uh-huh.
They don't just give candy bars; they give candy stores away. I mean, they do the whole enchilada. I mean, they will give money; they'll do stuff. So we thought, hey, that's a good idea. So I invited one of my friends, silly me. I don't know, there's a friend of mine, a guy friend, and there we were. So we were trick-or-treating, but supposedly I was on a date with her in the beginning, and by the end, she was with him.
Oh, wow. Now, that's what a story.
I don't even get it. I don't know what happened. It was, what was I, oblivious? But it was amazing because afterwards, I asked her, you know, like a couple days later, I go, what was that about? She goes, all's fair in love and war.
Oh.
I looked it up, and it says it's the art of deception. Using deception in love and war is okay.
Hmm.
So I never knew that. 43 years later or so, actually longer than that. Wait, was it? Yeah, 50, 60. Okay, 45 years later, I finally had a revelation last Thursday.
Wow.
Fair in love and war.
Wow.
So we think we're going to have a contest, right, Greg?
Of
your best all fair in love and war story.
Oh, that'll
that be, people have.
That'll be great for the entertainment.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So that's my story. All's fair in love and war. Not a pleasant thing, but, hey, you know.
Looks like you're thinking pretty hard about this one.
No, it's like, you know, at this point, they've probably been married and divorced 17 times. Okay. and I still remember both their names. So at that moment, I lost two friends. Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Yeah.
It must have it resonated with you for you to remember this long.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it didn't really affect me because I only went out once with her.
Oh, okay.
But it was perplexing, right?
Yep.
The way it happened. Well, I think more of that your friend would do that. But I'll say this, obviously not on air, but off air. Let me find those names. We'll search for them on Facebook.
And call them and get them on.
Yeah, we'll see where they're at today.
Do you remember Halloween 1967, Beverly Hills? It was a cloudy night.
He remembers the year this happened.
But you know how I did that really quickly?
He doesn't remember anything else.
No, I do remember, Sam. Oh, your name's not Sam.
Yeah,
no, I do.
We'll talk about stuff, and 5 minutes later, someone else will say the same thing. You'll be like, great, guess what? I go, I just told you that.
Yes, he does do that. But you know, how did I remember the year? Because I was 17 in that year.
Okay.
That was a good one. Good calculation.
Yeah.
And,
there you go. Well, we know you know your math. That's good.
I do. But I don't know my Halloween nights. That could be a good one. Anyway, so I don't know what it has to do with this, but I think it just sort of came up in my head.
Oh, okay.
But good one. All right, so today, of course, well, let's put it this way, Breakthrough Networking, you're the star of the show, and typically, you know, we talk about networking in terms of getting out there and meeting people, developing relationships. That's what it's all about, and Al, you're one of the best at that. Because you really are the face of NetOne Services, great IT company. Maybe we should remind our listeners that what specifically you do as in NetOne Services. What's the menu?
The menu, we provide support for small businesses, Windows environments, the Windows servers, email servers, file servers, print servers, and we maintain both the operating system, the help, antivirus, online backup, just about everything a small business would need to stay up and running.
Wow, that's important. That's what we were talking about, how important it is to know someone in this field. But not just anyone. I'm going to guess, Al, that like in any profession, there's degrees and there's different sophistication levels of professionals in IT. Some know more and some may not know as much. That's scary when you don't know the full menu.
True. It is the same in just about any industry. Individuals can specialize in something where they know a lot about one area but almost nothing about another area.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like in gaming. They have PC gaming. The individuals know one game very, very well, but you ask them about a different game and they don't have a clue. Same thing in computer industry with PCs. There's the desktop operating system. You have different versions of it. You have, you know, back from DOS and then Windows for Workgroups, Windows 98, Millennium Edition, 2000, Vista, then
XP,
and then 7.
Now 8.
Right.
And then 8.1 coming out in the fall, I heard.
We're kind of like with Apple, we'll wait till we see it.
Yeah, well, you're probably right. And although we have an 8 that we sort of like.
You know, I like Windows 8, but here's the thing. I was mentioning the Owl before the show, is I have a Nokia Lumia 920 cell phone I've had since around Thanksgiving
time.
That's kind
of a mouthful.
It is, yes, absolutely. And I'll say I love it, and I got used to it. Now, the live tiles really aren't for everyone. I'm someone that likes it, but I could understand why people don't. In terms of the Windows 8 now being on a computer, the thing is you can still get back to the desktop easily.
Yeah.
And even when you're not on the desktop, I'm used to the live tile, kind of that appeal that they have, like you're basically on your cell phone but on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind that, but even if you don't like it, I still, you know, it's easy to get back to the desktop. So I think it's more of it's a change, but once you get used to it, but the tech side of it, I truly obviously don't know as much. So, you know, I'd be interested in finding out more about that.
Sure. With Windows 8, you're absolutely correct. Most businesses, their traditional desktops do not have a touch screen. So whether it's a desktop or a laptop, it's just not natural to reach up and touch your laptop
right.
screen and slide your hand across like you do a tablet. And that's what is kind of expected with most of the applications. So someone, you know, launches Windows 8, they log in, and then they have to take the mouse and drag or click on the live tiles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just different. It's not
yeah.
what they're used to. Now, once you move that out of the way, it's very much like Windows 7. You,
sure.
you know, you launch your applications, you have icons, and you can print. So it's still usable in a business environment, just not the multimedia, you know, live icons. Yeah.
And this is so fast, this computer.
Yes, it is. Technology every 6 months doubles in speed practically.
Oh.
And we'll talk about that with the next subject, talking about the PCs and that. Windows 8, it is nice, but it just wasn't received very well.
Yeah.
Individuals, like Greg said, individuals that had smartphones and are used to that touchscreen and can just relate it mentally to their desktop, they're okay with it. But if they just try to use their desktop like a smartphone, it is hard.
Yeah, that's, I mentioned this other day on one of the other shows that, you know, I was out all last week at a CPE, continuing professional education conference for CPAs, and there's a couple CPAs that came up and they had a technology section, and which was sort of funny. CPAs were teaching that, but they I guess they, you know, they've been teaching it for a while. I've seen them before, they're pretty good, but they said if you buy do not buy Windows 8 right now. I mean, they didn't say, well, you probably shouldn't. He said do not buy. And of course I just bought one a week earlier, and they were saying things that evidently are not quite, it appears, accurate. They said you can't open more than two programs at the same time. That's just not true. We've tried this.
Mm-hmm.
They said you have to be on the Internet to be able to run it. That's not true. We could run it not when it's not on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just surprised. We have a friend that was on the show, Matt Kenny. Let's give him a shout-out. What was it, BWSI?
Yeah, absolutely. Matt,
nice guy. And he used to work at Microsoft, and he has his own company now doing HR work and payroll-related items for big companies, staffing. And but he was really into computers. You know, he used to work at Microsoft. He goes, no, it's great. So it was just interesting to see that, you know, at this conference, they said, do not buy it. When I got home, though, because I didn't really try it after we bought it, and I love it.
Uh-huh. You know, it's interesting.
And thanks to you, I love it, because you told us the when to buy, and this is a fantastic.
And the bell, it's fantastic. Yeah,
it is like, great.
Yeah.
Give me some knuckles. Really, I really like it.
I'll mention real quick, we looked up the names of the people running the seminars, and it turns out that they actually are in charge of Apple right now.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that was.
The one thing I think they were saying with the Internet is when you're actually on the Windows 8 platform and
the tiles?
Right out of the tiles, to get into any of this, you do need to be connected. But that's just to get in when you're on the tiles. Obviously, all you do is hit desktop, and then you just sign online and do your thing.
I think
so,
that's great.
Yeah, it is, you know, once you get used to it.
And it depends on the applications. Some proprietary or older applications, just like with Windows 7, they have issues depending on the to be specific, there's a 32-bit applications have difficulty running on 64-bit operating systems. So that is still there. So you can't just port all of your programs over. You have to, that's why I asked specifically which program you're using. And the ones that you listed should work fine under a Windows 7 Pro 64-bit. They should run just fine under Windows 8.
And they do, because we loaded Office, we've loaded Lacert, our tax software, and QuickBooks. And that's pretty much all we use, I think. I don't think we use a whole lot. They work perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You were quite correct.
Huh.
That was good. No, I really enjoyed it. Maybe we can get you to teach the technology seminar next year. No, really, actually, that might be not a bad idea, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because, CPAs are,
They are good with numbers.
Exactly. I'm thinking of calling them. It's like, really? Don't buy it.
It's one thing to have a different opinion, but if they were as hard on it as you're saying,
they were
they're
very
like,
hard.
No, you better not get it.
Yeah,
only Apple.
Until the patch comes out, they call it with the blue or 8.1 or something, and they said probably in the fall, and I go, I don't see anything wrong with it, and then the patch might include a start menu, but you can download that now anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like, I don't know, right, Greg? I mean, you've been using it more than I have.
I like it. I mean, really, business-wise, for our business, I mean, it's everything we use. You mentioned QuickBooks, obviously.
Works
accounting,
perfect.
Lacert.
Yeah.
Microsoft Word. Now, maybe there's other things, other types of programs that perhaps maybe on different systems work different that we don't know because we don't need them.
Exactly. There's Adobe suites and that require a certain operating system. There's at least 10 other programs I can think of that are very particular as to the operating system. They have not been certified on 8, so I would definitely not recommend that you beta test version 8 for them.
Yeah.
You will have lots of issues to overcome.
Interesting, yeah, but very cool. So, Greg, should we take a quick break, and then we'll get into the Intel Nook. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Is that like the Vancouver Canucks?
Canucks.
Oh, Canucks. Okay.
Yeah.
It was close. Well, let's take a break. This is Breakthrough Thinking, sponsored by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. Of course, you could hear us live every day, 2 to 4, on blogtalkradio.com/BTBN. Did I do that right?
And breakradioshow.com.
And breakradioshow.com. And, of course, Saturdays, our AM local AM station, our home in Phoenix, Arizona, on Saturdays from 11 to 2 is 1480 AM. KZHX. We'll be right back.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking, and this is Breakthrough Networking, the first Tuesday of every month from 2 to 3, starring Al Fulton, Net One Services. And Al, well, we talked a lot about many things that first segment, including All's Fair in Love and War.
That's a thing in computers as well.
Yeah, I bet it is. No doubt about it. We talked a little bit about Windows 8, and of course anyone or everyone who's interested in re-listening to this broadcast can go to breakradioshow.com under archives, and this is a wealth of information. We have 45 minutes to go. We're going to talk about the Intel Nook.
Right.
I almost said nuke.
Well, some people pronounce it nuke.
But that sounds like All's Fair in Love and War.
Exactly.
The nuclear war. So what's an Intel Nook?
It is the next unit of computing. That's where the initials NUC are derived.
Oh, next unit of computing. Is that like the cloud?
Actually, it is the revision of the IBM PC technology, and it is based on a motherboard of a laptop. And so this device is 4 inches wide by 4 inches deep by 2 inches high.
4 by 4 by 2?
Correct.
Wow.
So if you imagine a small, actually just imagine a smartphone.
Like that, my iPhone?
Exactly.
Is that 4 by 4 by 2, you think?
No, it's more like 6 by 1/2 by 4, maybe.
Okay.
It's only a half inch high in.
Oh,
2.5
oh,
wide.
I see.
But if you take that technology and you just fold it in half, and put it in a slightly larger box so that you can put a standard laptop hard drive of your choice, because like the Apple, when you purchase an Apple iPhone, when you decide how much RAM it is at the time you purchase it, that's it. You don't get to upgrade it. You can't open it. You can't install more RAM.
Oh.
Well, Intel decided to make the box a little larger to allow the user to select the RAM and install the RAM. So it's actually started out as a kit.
Oh.
Where a user could buy the kit. It's a small case. It has a motherboard, has a slot for a solid-state hard drive, laptop size. So this is a really small but high capacity. It starts out with 64 gigs, 128, and 256. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason for making those modular is so the user could swap those out or, in the future, upgrade. So let's say this year the 256 gig hard drive is the largest. Well, next year, every 6 months, the technology doubles in speed or in size. So this time next year, it should be up to 512 gigs. And then the next year, it'll be up to 1 terabyte in a small drive, the quarter the size of a smartphone. We're talking 1 terabyte, 1,000 gig in the size of a smartphone. Well, with that said, is you can upgrade easily by just simply removing 4 screws, pop the lid off, and you can insert. It has 2 slots for RAM. You can just insert the RAM of your choice. Currently, the size of RAM is 8 gigs per stick, so you can put 16. Next year, they'll have 16 per stick, and you have 32, and the next year you double that. So what I'm getting at is this is going to revolutionize or actually replace the desktop computer because it does not. And that's what Mitch Spean was joking about, the obsolescence of the computer. The old technology of the round PS2, the old IBM round connector, has been replaced with USB. The parallel ports, the large 25-pin connector, has also been replaced with USB. And the serial port, so what I'm getting at is as the technology improves the speed, now video ports can be added via USB or HDMI. They're very, very condensed, small ports that you can plug simply cables into. So now this device has just USB and video ports. So your mouse, your keyboard, your monitor, your scanner, everything just plugs into this one small box. No longer do you need to have and I didn't mention that because it's designed like a laptop, the power supply is external. So you have a laptop adapter power source so that there's no heat generated inside. Mm-hmm. You don't need to make room for a power supply, so you can imagine how small this is. The solid-state hard drive is not spinning or running. There's no motors, so it's not producing much heat. The RAM doesn't. The motherboard doesn't. So what I'm getting at is this device is really very – it operates very cool. It doesn't have fans sucking dust in. It is sealed, so you don't have an issue. I won't say it's waterproof, but, you don't want to, dump a Coke on it or get it into the ports, of course. But it is not as susceptible as a standard PC or laptop because all the peripherals are external. You just plug them in and you hit the power button, and solid state hard drives are much, much faster than traditional spinning hard drives because the way those hard drives are designed is the heads position at a certain point, the drive is spinning at about 5,200 RPM, so it has to spin one revolution, then the head has to move in a little bit, and then read the next revolution. So you can imagine a file, this method, just very slow, just the heads move. Eventually your program loads. With solid state, it's RAM, no moving parts. So when you click on, hit the start button, 11 seconds later, the computer's asking you, 11 seconds later, the computer is asking you for a login. Once you click that, 20 seconds later, you have your desktop and all your icons. It literally boots in 30 seconds. That is just phenomenal, and I'm using your word, phenomenal.
Yes.
For a PC, and this is definitely will revolutionize. In fact, PC desktop sales are down. Laptops are scheduled to overtake laptop sales will overtake desktop sales this year. And next year, the Nook or this small device will probably overtake because this device can be used everywhere. Kiosk, multimedia at home, desktop replacement everywhere, laptop replacement because you can just hook it right into a smart TV or even a TV that has HDMI. Because it has Wi-Fi capability, it has internet, it has a wireless module that, you can plug into the USB port. It is a full computer, and it weighs about a pound. So you can actually just, in theory, Velcro it onto the back of your TV, and now you have full computer access and use your TV like a computer.
How do you get software in there?
Almost everything is digital these days. You don't need a CD-ROM. You just bring up the website Acrobat Reader. You just go adobe.com, click on Reader, and you download your program, and within minutes it's on and installed. And so the days of all the old spinning hard drives, spinning CDs, optical, that those days are just about gone.
Is this out now?
Yes, you can purchase it at a couple different electronic stores around that are popular, like Fry's Electronics sells them.
So all you need, so this plus, at least you need a monitor, right, basically?
Right, yes.
And that's it. You need this, Intel Nook, along with a monitor.
A mouse and keyboard will help so that you can type.
Oh, yeah, keyboard too.
Yep, just input devices. And
wow.
Yes.
And it does everything a laptop would do.
Yes, some of the everything a laptop would do. It has the Intel processor, the i3 currently. That's simply because the i5 is in development, the i5 and i7. They put off a little bit more heat. So the next version, they will, I believe that's what they're, according to what I read, it's not an official, but because they are running a little warmer, they are working on producing cooler running CPUs that will can be housed in this little box.
How much is this, do you know?
It's, the kit starts at about $200. And then if you populate it with a solid-state hard drive, it's about 120. You'll need about 8 or 16 gigs of RAM, so it's another 50. And lastly, an operating system. If you install Linux, it's free. If you go with Windows 7 Home, it's about 100. Windows 7 Pro is 150. So a fully working, assembled with Windows operating system, ready to go, is about $550.
Wow, that's incredible. And then, of course, you got to get a monitor.
You could actually use your TV at home.
That is amazing. So this is from IBM?
No, this is actually Intel. This is
Intel. Okay, yeah. Intel Nook.
Yes.
But, okay, I see. So this, how long will it take, do you think, that this will just take out all the desktops and all the laptops?
Less than 2 years. This is my personal opinion because of its size, its flexibility. It is not susceptible to being dropped. I mean, they've done 12-foot drop tests on it because there's no spinning part. Of course, the power's off. It doesn't matter if it's on or not other than it might short. But they've dropped it, picked it up, plugged it right back in, and it works perfectly. So what I'm getting at is ruggedized environments, high dust, high heat. These can be used just about anywhere now.
Now, how about, does this impact Apple at all? It can't be used with Apple, right?
Now, Apple has their own Apple Mini.
Oh, they do.
That is in direct competition. Now, Asus, I believe, have designed their own unit that at the moment it only has the media center, so it has Windows Media Center, but not Windows Home or Pro yet.
Wow, that is, man, things change like ridiculous.
Yes, the size of the old desktop box, if you open up one of the cases, there's 80% is just open space. It's not used. And that's only because of the old design where they try to allow room for plugging in those large video cards or large sticks of RAM, more hard drives. But these days, 1 terabyte of storage on a little hard drive is all you need. Plus, you can always connect a USB thumb drive. You know, you can always store your data the cloud. So there's the days of, storing everything on this one desktop computer. That's not required either. Yes.
So the cloud, you mentioned the cloud. Is there any impact on this Intel Nook and the cloud? Because the cloud would have, some of the cloud computing will have its own software that you would lease.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't need software. Would you need the power? If you were just strictly on the cloud, leasing all the software, you wouldn't need any hard drive space, would you?
Right, very, very little, less than 10 gigs.
So this could be overpowered for those on the cloud?
Correct.
How do you see that playing out? Did Intel do a survey like that? I mean, could the cloud squeeze them out at some point?
No, because you still need to boot an operating system, which you don't necessarily need to use Microsoft. You can use Linux. You need a browser so you can get to the Internet. And then once you're connected, it's it's just a mouse keyboard controls, and your software is processing on the cloud server. So you don't need much processing or storage on the small desktop or laptop replacements.
So Intel Nook, even though it can be large in such a small container, small package, it probably won't need to be that large.
Correct.
Yeah, because of the cloud. Wow, things are changing. So I'm just wondering, in like 7 years, what does everything look like? We may have gone through this generation, the cloud's generation. There must be something else that we haven't even thought of.
I believe the speed of the laptops, the speed of the smartphones and the wireless capability will allow you to actually set your smartphone next to your TV, and with a wireless mouse keyboard, you can do absolutely everything through your smartphone. And the smartphones can get smaller and smaller other than the display. Now, the next 7 years, the roll-up or flexible screens will be popular.
Oh, you did mention that one.
Yeah, so your screen, you can actually have a flexible monitor rolled up in your pocket, whatever. You just lay it on the desktop, you pull out your phone, and you can type either on the screen or, you know, on. Now, that was something I mentioned in the phones. They're going to have a little laser LED that points down at the desktop, and it's a virtual keyboard with LED lights.
Oh.
So you just set your phone down, you type on a desktop or some surface, and your monitor, you just stick it to the wall, lay it down. So even the kids' backpacks, you flip the backpack around, and it will be the monitor, you know, and it'll have a solar charger, so it's always charging. The technology is just growing leaps and bounds.
So it's like in that movie, Hunger Games.
Haven't seen it yet.
All right, but you remember that? They had this, a projection as a screen right in front of them. And I think Tom Cruise did that in Mission Impossible 3, where you can, not even on the wall, but you can just right in front of
just
you.
Just in the middle of the air.
In the air. Is that something?
Yeah,
that one too. And so is that something that's possible too? You can have a screen-looking funny thing that's right in front of you, take anywhere you want, that apparently looks like something from Disneyland.
Right, almost like a hologram, but flat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yes, I believe that technology will advance enough in the next 7 years to be usable.
Wow. So maybe no one would have an iPad. They would just, you know, throw something like a little dust out there, and they can do all their computations right in front of their themselves in the air.
Yes. All it does is it uses 3D so it can position your hand in the air versus where it thinks that your screen is. So when you put your hand near it and you cover some of the beams of light, that's how the little keyboard knows which keys you're pressing, because you interrupt that key light, and it knows you intended to press that key. Well, the same thing will happen with these projected boards, where it knows where your hand is in the position, so as you move. I like the new technology where your monitors can be anywhere in the room. So if you watched Hawaii Five-O, where they take that table and they slide their hand and they throw image over to another monitor, that technology is already in place, and it will be out next year.
That's incredible. So
yes.
Just imagine you know, the movie makers, they could put their favorite model right in front of you.
Yes, they could. And they can determine what you like by what you browse. And if you go and you follow a certain star, they know that, and they can start pushing those types of movies and ads.
It looks like the model's really live in the room in front of you.
Oh, that's a possibility, a hologram.
Yeah, what do you think? Is that possible?
Yeah, I'm sure they could.
Whoa.
They had that in the one Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I think it was The Sixth Day, where his buddy would go home and then he'd have his little hologram girlfriend show up. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. It's, you know, interesting, but I've always thought about, wow, I wonder if they'll ever be able to really do that.
But would it be only legal in Nevada, though?
Yes, just parts of Nevada.
That's amazing. Really? So you think that can happen?
Just hologram projectiles? I mean, it's in projections.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about teleportation?
That's probably 20 years out.
So you think that's possible?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Because of the DNA level that they can now, they can dissect and pull pieces of DNA and then replace it with other pieces of DNA. It's just a matter of time before they completely dissect the DNA, break it down, transfer it, and then reassemble it on the other end.
Now, how would that feel, you think, if I'm being transported, like from here to, let's say, San Diego,
mm-hmm.
for example. And so here I am 1 second, and I'm in San Diego the next second. That journey, what would I feel like if I'm all disconnected, all my DNA is packaged up in a nice transportation model?
It's funny because the different movies, the individuals always say that they feel like they're burning or they have a headache. And that is, I'm positive, because of the pain. When you're being, you know, dissected and then reassembled. In fact, one of the movies I just watched recently, the time machine, time travel, and the person on the other end just had a terrible headache. He just wanted a whole bottle of Advil, just turned it up and took all of them because of that travel.
So that'll be on commercials. Like the commercials for drugs and all that stuff. They'll say, and remember, you may have a headache that lasts 14,000 years.
One of the side effects, yeah.
Yeah.
The feeling that you're burning inside. Yeah.
You don't think they can solve that issue?
I don't know. I'm not a biologist I don't know.
I wonder what the insurance would be like, because what if, you know, the engineer, the operator accidentally, like, transports someone from here to San Diego, but you end up in the water and you go, we're at the bottom of the ocean. What happens then?
Exactly. Or something's
in the
way. Or a power glitch. The time and only half transmission.
Your legs are sticking out through a telephone pole. Oh, no. What would happen? Your face would be part of the line.
Exactly. That's why it's going to take 20 years before they can perfect something like that.
Oh, I wonder who would test that and how much it would cost. What they would pay. Wow, let's take a break. I like that idea, though. That would save the airplane industry. May not like it, though.
You're absolutely right.
That could be a problem, right?
But space travel would be awesome.
Yeah,
Transport yourself from here to the Star Trek Enterprise.
To the moon. Fly me to the moon. Okay. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break right now. This is Breakthrough Thinking, sponsored by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And every first Tuesday of every month from 2 to 3 is Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton. That one services. We're talking a bunch of stuff. We just talked about the Intel Nook and, what would we call it, time travel or DNA travel? I don't know. When we come back, we'll decide. We'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. We're live here at the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. And this is Breakthrough Thinking, sponsored by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And the first Tuesday of every month from 2 to 3 is Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton, owner of Net One Services. And Al, this is like amazing stuff, sci-fi type stuff.
It is.
We're talking about.
It's unbelievable, because I think when you were asking that, you were probably thinking about the new movie, Now You See Me. Now, granted, that's magic, so, you know, it could be a little different, but, you know, they were teleporting people as part of, you know, their
trip.
It's interesting, because you think about it, going, I wonder if they could ever do this. And now to find out that, yes, it's probably going to be possible.
It's amazing. Off the map, because...
No more Chris Angel.
Yeah. How does he do that? Do you know who Chris Angel is?
Not exactly.
He's a magician.
Yes.
He does that.
I don't know if he does a lot of that, per se, but some of the magicians...
But he walks on water and stuff. How does he do that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They have their little tricks. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're good at it. There's no doubt. Now, you talked about a little bit space elevators. What is that?
That technology has been around. So there's one of the individuals that said back in late 60s that it's very easy to, when you have a craft in space, something of a mass of size, let's just say 100 tons, like a space shuttle or a space station, and you have a tether, kind of like a normal elevator, a cable, that unit that is up in space is kind of, it because of its sheer mass, you can tether and just pull things up off the Earth and not really defy gravity, but its size is so huge that a little, you know, half-ton item that, you know, if the cable's strong enough, you can just easily, cost-effectively just pull it right up to the space station. So they're revisiting that this year.
Wow, space elevators.
Yes.
That is phenomenal. Things that are going on. There'll be new industries, new innovations, and new multimillionaires.
Absolutely. Now, one idea that I thought about, I'm sure they're going to do this, at space cruise ships that face down towards the Earth. So you, once you're up there, they give you this suite that aims down at the Earth. So you have this beautiful view, And it'll be just like a casino, hotel, resort. It'll have swimming pools, of course, however they can, you know, artificial gravity. But you have everything you have in a hotel, and it won't be on the Earth, so the laws will be different. So keep that in mind.
Oh, I can imagine right now.
Yes.
Wow.
It will almost be its own government. You know, each ship is going to be in international water, so not a single country can dictate what goes on. So this industry, I mean, that's the wave. You were asking what's going to happen in the future. I think that industry is just going to it's just going to be wide open.
Now, how near is that, you think? Is it 20, 30 years off or much further down the line?
Because of the petro industry, how they bought up all the rights to the different things, and they've just shelved them. Almost electric cars. Electric cars have been out for 20 years, and each time somebody invents one, the companies, the petro motor industry, would buy it and shelve it. And so only this past year or two did Tesla release its sports car, and really high power, fast, fuel, and when I say fuel efficient, energy efficient. So with that, now there are several consortiums that are getting together that are like, we're not waiting for corporate America or the stock market or whoever to invest. They're actually crowdfunding money, and they're putting it into these adventures. Now, there is a private company that actually flew outside the U.S. orbit and back to the Earth, and that's the first time it's been done as a private industry. NASA has always been the one, or some government.
Right.
Last year was the first private company that did that. So now you know that opens the door for space travel, space stations. So I would say this is going to occur in the next it'll start in the next 5 years, and then it'll really take off where everybody will want to be in space.
So you'll have a bunch of space stations like resorts out there.
Yep.
I wonder how you'd get a license, because who would control it? Some international type of unit?
Probably the World Court, Global something. Yeah, they'll come up with something to
Nelson Rockefeller. The Rockefellers.
The Kardashians.
The Kardashians.
Yes.
Walt Disney. That would be interesting. So instead of taking a cruise, you take a cruise in space, and you could... probably this big glass bubble, you have the swimming pool, and you have a view of the Earth.
Yes. Yes, I have no reason. As long as it's close enough, the gravity of the Earth will still pull on the ship and the water in the resort. So you won't necessarily be facing the Earth, but the water, because it'll pull towards the Earth. But you can look out at
the stars
from the pool.
Wow.
That's just logic. I don't have proof on that.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking it through, how they would design a space station, but let's call it a floating casino.
Yeah, floating casino. Now, you said they wouldn't have probably laws similar to down on Earth, because it's not what's outside the government jurisdiction, evidently. So what do you envision? What type of parties would they be having? Resorts would they be having? What type of different things other that we haven't seen before?
It's still going to be the exact same thing we deal with here. Each country will have its own set of laws and rules. What drugs will be allowed?
You got great attention on that one. See that? That was so funny.
What activities?
You're talking about aspirin or Advil, right? Drugs.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Yeah, not red lights.
I don't know what those are. I don't take drugs.
No, red lights are.
I don't know what that is either.
I switched topics. Amsterdam.
Okay. Yeah.
Red light district.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely.
Oh, you can have a red light floating casino. Then you can have a Billy Graham, floating casino. And you can then, I don't know, you can have hockey.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Well, that sounds interesting.
Yes.
Interesting and stranger than fiction.
And it is really very doable, since the space station, that proved very, very
positive. That is really cool. Boy, so many interesting things coming up. So now let's see. We still have a little time, right, Greg, for about 5 minutes to talk about business networking groups. What do you got? You got some really good stuff.
Oh, I'm just going to touch on it.
Yeah.
Because it's still in development.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've seen in visiting a different business networking mixers and luncheons, it starts out small, kind of an individual who just wants to pull some individuals together to share referrals. Well, it grows, and then there's some, I guess, redundancy. You'll have two industries in the same group, and then now you have an issue. So they have to create bylaws. Well, that's if somebody, I guess that's what this segment is about, to let the person know, think down the road, not just getting five people together, 10 people, because if it snowballs, you'll have 30, then you have 50, then 100, and they should plan on making some rules as to who, or a committee as to who will make the decisions, you know, if there's fees, collecting. I mean, it's just like a small business, actually, because if they collect fees, then they should report taxes, you know, on income.
Yes, that's true.
And so I guess what I'm getting at in this, the 3 minutes left, is to for the person to think it through before they just start a group, because it can get kind of nasty when it too, and I've seen it and heard more about it, when two individuals from the same industry are members or try to become members, and there's a rift in the group, because the person's a friend of this half of the group, and the other person's a half of this, you know, friend. So there has to be some governing rules and individuals to uphold those rules.
So you're saying it generates a lot of competition versus cooperation.
Correct.
Yeah, cooperation would be much better. So maybe that would be the new type of networking group, a cooperative type of group.
Yes.
That supports even people in their own industry.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
Yes. And so they that's just the thing that I've seen lately that I want to address in my upcoming, and I won't say it's just a website that's developing.
That sounds exciting, though, and it's all about helping businesses,
right? Small
business related, which is very, very cool. So Al, how can they get in touch with you?
Two main ways would be my email address, and that is alf@net1services.com, or phone 889-7277. And we're developing a rebranding, and the Facebook landing pages are being redone. So I will give those out at a future date.
Wow. So that's 602-899?
No,
889-7277. Wow. Very, very cool. So this is great stuff. And like I've always said, it's so critical to know someone in IT. And these days, we've said it before, anytime that you are in business, you should have clearly a relationship, at least with a good attorney.
Yes.
Have a good CPA.
Yes.
And IT, this is so critical. It is so critical because everything is like electronic these days.
Yeah.
I mean, everything.
Yes.
And if you get stuck, that could put your business down. And but with you, you've saved many times. And you react. I didn't even mention the time I tripped over my own laptop and the power cord got stuck in the input thing. And I said, uh-oh, I only got a lot of power left of power. Called you. You said, come on down. Took you virtually 30 seconds. Fixed it. Phenomenal.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for those kind words, Dave.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Well, thank you so much. Al, we'll see you next month, the first Tuesday of every month from 2 to 3, Breakthrough Networking. We're going to do remotes throughout Phoenix, Arizona. So everyone stay tuned for that, more announcements on that. And Al, thank you so much. See you next week.
Yep, see you.
And stay tuned for Standard of Excellence show under the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back.